Okay, we're going to pick up this Bible study that we're doing on the authority that we're to walk in, even as we look at the authority that Christ walked in. You got to remember, this whole thing about authority has to do with the God living inside of us. I mean, of course we have authority. God lives inside of us. And in life, there's natural authority, and the Lord tells us to honor the authority of the kings and the authority of the leaders, and we need to raise our children to respect authority. So there's natural authority, and everybody kind of knows what that means, or they should know what that means. I won't say everybody knows what that means. We do a lot of ministry here to help people get free from enabling, you know. And so the person who has the authority, you never have to have a power struggle if you have the authority. There should never be a power struggle if you have the authority. So when you allow the enemy, whether he's working through your children or your employees or whatever situation where you have the authority, even in a husband and wife situation, if you allow the enemy to get in there and cause, cause that kind of problem, to cause a power struggle, it's because somebody's not walking in their rightful authority. So, we're not going to get into all that, but, the Bible, Jesus says in the Word, don't threaten. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. When you begin to threaten, you actually lose that authority that you're walking in, and you get it out of the realm where God has given you authority, and you put it in the realm where the enemy can play with you. Okay? So there's no power struggles when you understand God's line of authority. When you're not rebellious, there's really no power struggles. And I'm not going to get that. We have a whole lot of teaching on rebellion. I really encourage people to get a hold of it. But enabling actually allows somebody to set up a strife and set up a situation where there's a lot of struggling, where truthfully, if people would walk in the rightful position given to them by God and in that authority, even in the natural, you wouldn't have that situation. And so we need to, when we were studying authority and you saw this centurion who recognized that if he told his soldiers to go, they went. He didn't have a power struggle with them. He didn't sit there and argue with them. He knew that if they didn't do what he said, they were either going to be imprisoned or whatever they did back then to someone who came against his position as commander. And in America, the lines have been all blurred anymore. If a school teacher says this, then the parents don't back the school teacher. And next thing you know, there's this big situation and the school board doesn't back the school teacher. And the school teacher many times is fired for doing what, she should have been doing. And so everybody lives in this place of fear, not knowing their authority. And that's what the devil wants for the believer. He wants us to live in a place of fear, not recognizing our authority. And so first of all, to really have authority, you have to know that God has given you that authority, is backed up by his word, and is backed up by his anointing and his power. And so when God gives you authority, you don't have to get in a power struggle with anyone. I know when the Lord told me to buy this building, and I bought the building. That took a lot of faith to go buy $500,000 building when you have pretty much no money, So I thought I did the hard part. I thought I did the difficult part when I signed the contract and bought the building. But then right away, within weeks, I was informed by the city that they didn't want me to put a church here and that they had the authority, so I wasn't going to be able to put a church here. And so I remember telling them, well, one who has a higher authority told me to put a church here. And you two fight it out. So basically I said, this is between you and God. You fight it out. In the meantime, I'll go ahead and open a thrift store, which we no longer have here. Thank you, Jesus. And we'll do some renovations and get everything ready for when God reveals that he has given me authority to put a church here. And so it took maybe 6 or 7 months. It took me doing some spiritual warfare. It took the Lord getting some things out of my heart, whatever is in your heart that the enemy has placed there blocks the authority that God wants you to have. So we actually had the whole church come together. And first of all, the Lord had me go all the way to Colorado and go up to this the highest peak. I don't even remember the name of it. I have a t-shirt with it on it somewhere. And we went to this really high peak in Colorado. I was out there for a conference, and the Lord said, you know, go with this lady. And I didn't know. You know, God does things step by steps, okay? It's not like this. God doesn't download this instruction. You're going to do this and this and this. That's why this is an awesome journey of faith, okay? And sometimes when we hear people's stories or their testimonies, we just think God just comes so clearly and shows them all these things. No, you walk this stuff out. That's why it's faith, and that's why it's exciting. It's not like, here's the orders from God, and I'm just a robot, and I'm going to follow these orders. Although many times, many of us would vote for that. That would be our vote, you know. Can we have the orders with the money, you know, attached, and, you know, the plane tickets we need, and you know, everything we need to do this thing without any faith? You know, that would be, you know, many of our choice. But since God is working in this entire journey of life to cause us to trust him, to know him, to be led by him, to enjoy him, and to really, truly just fall in love with him, he does it in a way that makes us, nervous, but makes us, you know, seek after him with all of our heart. And so, you know, when I'm out there and the Lord puts on my heart, and let me, I wasn't going to teach this, but I'm going to teach it anyway because it's coming to me. I was talking to somebody the other day. God gives you the desire of your heart when you're living a holy life. So I was talking to somebody who was asking me if I, you know, they were really seeking the Lord about going to the Philippines with us. And I said, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to go? Oh, I really want to go. I love going. I've just been praying about going. I just want to go so much. I said, well, he gives you the desire of your heart when you're living for him, and he put that desire there. I said, because they're paying their own way, which is like a, you know, $1,500 expense. This is a single mom who's actually saved up over a year and a half to have $1,500 to go to the Philippines. And so I said, do you have the money? Oh yeah, I have the money. God gave me a way to save up for this, and I started saving up for it to have the money. I said, well, you have the money and you want to spend it to go to the Philippines. And now the door's opening for you to go. What more do you need? Because if this was flesh, you'd want to go to Hawaii, you know, a cruise or something. Then I'd say, maybe you have to sit there and say, is this really God? But that you actually want to go to the Philippines, especially since you've already been to the Philippines, then that's a God thing. That God gave you wisdom to save up the money so that when the time came, you would have it. That was God. Other people are praying real hard how to get the money, but you were already led by God before the opportunity, the door even opened to have it. And you're willing, as a single mom who just lost your child support in a major way, and you're willing to trust God enough to take that money and go to the Philippines, and you're asking, you know, is it God's will? And then this person cries out and says, well, God, show me, because I'm going to go on the computer, and if it's really you, let the name of that place come up on the computer. And so they type something about the Philippines, and that name came up. I said, okay, how many fleeces do you want here before God says, you know? And so with that, I just want to share how it works with God, because you don't want to get into some false spirituality, and you don't want to miss things. God gives you the desire of your heart. And the key to that, if that desire is his desire, it's something you would have never thought of before Christ, you can pretty much know it's God. And then if he brings along the provision, you can know that you know that it's God, all right? So you don't want to keep over-spiritualizing stuff like, okay, God, send an angel, okay, God. Because pretty soon the enemy's going to start directing your step, because, you know, you're not just stepping out in faith. So as we're talking about authority, you know, with this story I was telling about the Colorado thing. So I went up there not knowing. I went up there for a meeting, and then I had an extra day. And so this one lady said she was going to go to this mountain, the highest mountain. I can't even think of the name of it. And I said, well, I'll go too. I said, I'll go. Can I go? And she said, sure, because she was by herself. And so we drove. Oh, it was very, very high mountain. It's not like around here. They don't have guardrails. They have gravel on part of the road. And there's signs about who fell off at that point and died. They make you stop halfway up and check your brakes. And they talked about a woman who held her brake, like was there 2 weeks before we got there, these two women, and they held their brakes coming down, which burned out their brakes, and they went off the side of this mountain and died. And I'm like, thank you for telling us all of this, you know. And they're like, really, don't ride your brakes, you know, put it in low gear, just don't ride your brakes, because if your brakes go, there's no, you're going to, you know, you could actually die. So this was like an adventure. So anyway, we got to the very top, and I don't know if it was because of spiritual warfare or if it was because it's hard to breathe up there, but I was really dizzy. I was really hit, and I don't know if it really could have been the atmosphere change, and it could have been spiritual warfare. I don't know. I don't need to over-spiritualize things, because honestly, the entire adventure of life is enough. I don't have to exaggerate or make things up or anything else. I, you know, just say it like what you know. So anyway, so all I know is I got out and I was really dizzy and lightheaded and didn't know for sure how I was even gonna, you know, stay up there. And I'm thinking, oh, we gotta drive down now. Down's the part where you got the brakes, and I'm driving with some lady I don't even know. It's like, oh Lord, help. So anyway, so we're up there, and there's this, if you know me at all, I am very much a rule follower. God would not call me into what he's called me to do, I don't believe, as a watchman for the kingdom of God, if I wasn't a rule follower. I'm such a rule follower that I have never parked where it says no parking, not even for 5 seconds. I am a rule follower. I never was sent to the principal office. If the teacher said, do this, I did it. I'm not a rebellious person. Like, I'm very much a rule follower. If I'm not following a rule, you can almost know either I don't know about it or God is shaking up that thing. But anyway, so here they have this little path that's like a gravelly little path, like not a real path. Like people got off of the real path and walked down this little dirt path. And so the person I'm with said, let's take that path. And I'm like thinking, I don't even know why I'm up here. I can hardly breathe up here. I'm still thinking about driving down with these brakes. And Lord, please, I'm praying, Lord, I hope I didn't miss you. And, you know, and I just felt the Holy Spirit was like, yeah, go out there. So I'm like, oh, great. So I'm walking out on this little trail on the side and up this high, high mountain. There was almost nobody else up there. A couple people in the gift shop. And so I don't know what I'm looking for, and I have a camera. And so I take my camera, and I get to the end of this little tiny dirt path. It's not very well traveled, and there's a plaque in the ground. And the Lord said, look at the plaque. And I don't think the other lady even came out to the edge to look at this plaque, but the Lord said, go out there and look at this plaque. So I'm like, okay. And I look, and it's a Freemasonry plaque. And claiming that they own this nation. So the Lord said, take a picture of it. So I'm like, okay. So I'm up there on this, taking this, took a couple pictures. And then the Lord said, you know, now when you get back to the office, I'll tell you what to do with it. So I hadn't even thought about Freemasonry being a spiritual power over our city that would cause them to say I couldn't have a church. So anyway, so we got back. And the Lord had us do some specific things with the picture, and fire was involved, and I won't say more. But one thing the Lord had us do, he had us bring everybody in the ministry into a teaching that someone who had studied Freemasonry did. And we did this really thorough teaching on Freemasonry and really renounced and repented from any ties or roots to it. And there were little things in my family, not a lot of big things, but there was some membership that my ancestors had to certain clubs and things like that. So we broke the power of all that. As soon as we broke the power of all that and repented and renounced it and broke the iniquity line, the Lord woke me up one morning. He said, now go down there and submit your paperwork. Because up till then, when I submitted it, they said, no, we could not have a church. They wouldn't even look at my paperwork. We had the thrift store going. So that day, I didn't really want to go because I'd been rejected before and I really didn't want to have to deal with this, but the Lord said to really go. So I got up to go, and anybody who knew me at the time, I hate politics. I hate this kind of stuff. I am not a person who likes to deal with that kind of details. I'm just, oh, I tell you, building this building and being the overseer and having to do all that, oh, Lord, that was like just a time of dying more to self. I really hated it. And so, oh, nothing's worse to me than sitting there waiting and waiting and then being called and then being, you know, But Lord gave me lots of favor, lots of grace. So, but this time we got the car, you could really feel the presence of God with us. You could really feel angels being released. And we prayed in the car and took authority over the schemes of the enemy. And we walked in there And I'm not going to say all the details because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But they put us through so quickly. They treated me like I was royalty. And they told me that a certain amount of people had actually died since they said no to us. I know one person had a nervous breakdown. I know one person had a family member go to prison for embezzlement. I mean, and there was at least a couple people who had major sickness. I believe it was cancer. And I don't curse. I did never curse. I prayed blessing. But see, when God wants to do something and you come against God and you mock God, when you walk in true authority, you know, God's going to do what God's going to do. And they actually said to me, here comes trouble. And I broke power. They said, lady, I don't know what you do, but ever since you walked into this office and we told you no, everything around here has been shaken. And they put me right through. I mean, really right through, just amazingly. And actually had me pray for them and told me some of their stuff and just really changed their opinion about me. Because they knew this woman walks in authority with God. It's pretty cool. You know, when you do what the Lord calls you to do, He gives you that authority. And there's other situations where we really walked, you know, in authority that that's just all God. You know, we're not trying to do this stuff. You know, when we first went to the Philippines, we had no idea, you know, that we were going somewhere dangerous. We had no idea about the Muslims and especially the extremists trying to take over this part of the Philippines, and there was bombs and all this kind of stuff. We had no idea about any of this. So they call me one morning and they're like, the mayor will meet with you. And I'm thinking, the mayor? I don't like politics. I don't want to meet with the mayor, you know. I'd rather, why are we going to go meet with him? It's a Cindy, it's an honor to meet with the mayor. You're going to go, you know. And I submit to Nilo. I mean, he's the one who takes us there and sets all this up. And, you know, I'm like, all right, we'll go meet the mayor, you know. And so we go and we meet the mayor. But I had no idea when we prayed for the mayor because, you know, I said, why don't you stand up to these extremists? Why don't you tell them they can't have this land? Why don't you take down their ugly statue and stuff? And he goes, oh, you can't touch a statue and you've got to be careful what you say around these people and all this kind of thing. And you could tell he was really pretty scared of this whole thing. And he said, well, I'm not going to be here anyway. He said, the election's in a couple weeks and another person's going to come in, I'm sure, and get this position because they're of a Catholic faith and they have the majority. And so we prayed that God would keep him in position. And because he actually was a born-again, I'm not sure if he was a born-again believer, but he was a believer, and he really was doing what the Lord had called him to do. And anyway, I don't think it was that spiritual. So we just prayed that God would keep him in, because the other person coming in was extreme, deep into the Catholicism that is a real stronghold over this nation. So anyway, so we just left it at that. But when we came back, and later on, a few years later, well, actually, even then, they opened the way for us to go to the military bases. And I try not to say things that get anyone in trouble because I don't know where this could end up. But we were able to go places that supposedly civilians had never been able to go before. And I'm thinking, why am I going to these places? Because I don't even care about going to these places. I mean, I'm like, what? Where are we going? You know, we're going to go to this particular place where civilians aren't allowed. But, you know, they invited you to come. So we go to this particular place where civilians aren't allowed. And I know we're taking ground for God. You know, we're walking in the authority He's given us. We're not trying to have authority. We're not trying to make up authority. We don't have a clue what we're doing. That's what's so exciting to me about this God thing. The more I don't know what I'm doing, the more He can do with me. So we go there, and then this person, a very high-ranking person who we should not have been there according to protocol and the rules, he began to show us all the dangerous areas. He began to show us some of the warfare tactics and things. And he was a born-again believer who was actually retiring soon from one of the highest positions. in the military, and he was going to start churches. He'd already started a couple of churches, and he told us what to pray for, and we all stood and held hands, and we really prayed, and we just declared that the Muslim extremists would not get this part of the Philippines, and that this thing would be pushed back, and we really prayed for strategic plans. And he actually really told some of the things that President Bush was involved in that were awesome biblical things that most of us wouldn't know about. Things, you know, I think people better really watch what they say about some of these leaders that God placed in position. And everything God ever showed me, I'm not saying everything was done right. When you touch Israel, you're in trouble, and that's when it fell apart. But I know at that point, he was telling me some things. So anyway, just, you know, how to get into these places and take care of the poor so that the Muslim extremists don't get in and then take over because of the people's need of food and things. So there was a lot of really cool things that were going on.